we have a couple of things to do this morning, and we have some suggested language regarding the issues we talked about yesterday as to what districts have to run again, how the whole interface of the current system will play itself out. I would suggest that we look at that and give an approval to it so they can prepare the bill draft with the language in it, with the understanding that it's a work that will continue to be evaluated. We shared the language with the Attorney General's office, and they will also look at it, and they always work or can work with the council if there's any, you know, red flags that jump up on the language. But Senator Leeson, check your phone.
Okay.
Where we just don't want to be distracted by any noise. Ah, they're silent mode. Life is good. Okay. So we had a brief heart failure over the fact that it appeared, according to Google Earth, don't believe them anymore, that we had inadvertently taken, that we had inadvertently, thanks to Representative Kelsch's motion, had moved his son into another district. And we found that Google, there was a discrepancy there, and we had not made that change. So we don't need to revisit that particular issue. Representative Kelsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to set the record straight, I did not make the motion. And I do want to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner, so let's drop it now.
Okay, we won't go further on that. Do you want to pass out that language? This was done last night. Oh.
It'll be next week.
That should be district, right? Yep.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Vonnette found a... okay, Representative Johnson pointed out we did leave a word out in subsection 1, even numbered district. This, yeah, it's front to back, and this is just a quick first draft. We haven't had the, you know, we just sort of worked on it last night and haven't had a chance to kind of give it some deep thought yet. But the point that we tried to get is, first of all, going forward, even number of districts, the legislators will be elected in 2012 for a term of 4 years. Odd number districts, the 4 years in 2014, but I think that's going to be fine. Number three, the term of office of a member elected in an odd-numbered district in 2010 for a term of 4 years, and who as a result of legislative redistricting is placed in an even-numbered district, will terminate December 1st, 2012. A member who was elected from an odd-numbered district for a term of 4 years, who as a result of legislative district redistricting is put in an even-numbered district, is allowed to continue to serve until the remainder of the term which they were elected beyond December 1, 2012, if the member changes the member's place of residence to a location within the odd-numbered district from which the member was elected by, and we just threw in an arbitrary date of February 1st, 2012. This is to account for the situation that apparently exists in Fargo, and I was told yesterday might be actually two legislators that were moved from an odd-numbered district to an even-numbered district, one in the House, one in the Senate. But it's the territory was basically adjacent in both cases. So if they want to continue to serve, they have to certify in writing to the Secretary of State and the Chairman of Legislative Management that they have established a new residence in the old district. And under current law, we have some residency rules set out in 540126. We make reference to that section as the rules for determining residency. And essentially, that's the combination of intent and action, that you have the intent to establish a new residence and that you've done something to do that, establishing the new residence. So, you know, if in fact you move your place of abode to that new district, you do everything that suggests that is where you're going to live, you have established that new residency. If the member does not establish residency within the district from which the member was elected by February 1, 2012, the term of office of that member will terminate on December 1st of 2012. So in any case, anybody that was elected in 2010 to a four-year term will serve at least the first 2 years of that term. If you were moved to an even-numbered district, that term will terminate unless you actually move back into the district from which you were originally elected. Now, that situation won't apply to members that are in the new District 14 because the district from which they were elected no longer exists. At least that was the intent of what we've tried to put on paper here. We may need to do a little tweaking in that case. But the situation in Fargo, the old district still exists. It's just adjacent to the new district. Subsection 5, the term of office of a member of a legislative assembly in an odd-numbered district with new geographic area, and this is where you set the 25% threshold yesterday. We actually used the 25% number here, which is 3,577, if my math was correct last night. Thinking that number is a clearer threshold than actually a percentage would be, because a percentage, there actually could be some question. We talk about the percentage, we talk about the ideal district size, which is what we used, as opposed to the district size that particular district is. So that number is firm for all districts rather than questionably floating for the various districts. So,
but it follows the intent of the motion, yes?
Yeah, I took the motion yesterday to mean 25% of the ideal district size rather than 25% of each particular district.
Representative Nathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so I'm clear, that the 3577, John, is that new voters in the district or is that gain?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nathan, that number is the number of people in new area within the district. So the total population of people in new area. So District 1, I believe, for example, actually lost area, didn't gain any new area. There's probably new people in there, but they're not people in new area. So we're determining the 3577 within new territory within the district. So if a district, if an odd-numbered district gained more than 3577 in people in new territory, that term of office would expire, and there would have to be an election for a two-year term in that district.
Yes, Senator Christman.
To anyone who would read this law or check into it to see what the requirements were that wasn't in this room yesterday, I think it would look like we had some district in mind and counted the exact number of people and saved somebody coming up with a odd number like that. So would there be logic in just making it 3,500? And it seems like a funny number to have in the code.
What do folks think? Any problem with that, going to 35? Even it doesn't impact anything that we've done as far as the movement.
Mr. Chairman, the other option, I guess, we could go back to use the 25% to be referred to 25% of the ideal district size. That would, that might be cleaner to...
That's essentially what the motion was yesterday that Representative Holman made, so...
Mr. Chairman, we'll make that change in the draft that goes forward.
Okay.
And then finally...
Senator Cook, oh, no, hold on. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finally, we put in subsection 6 to this section that would say that, that would get to the point that Chairman was addressing yesterday, that notwithstanding the section in the law that says that vacancies in legislative office are filled by the district committee, any vacancy that's caused by legislative redistricting will be filled by election to a two-year term of office in an odd-numbered district.
Okay, now, Senator Cook.
John, subsection 4 that deals with a legislator that's redistricted out of their district and then eventually moves back, on the third line there, as a result of legislative redistricting, is placed in an even-number district. Why are you being specific to an even-number district? Couldn't they be placed in another odd-number district and the same situation would arise, or just don't we happen to have that situation? I just question why it doesn't just say a different district.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cook, I hadn't given that a lot of thought because it was my understanding that they were all into even-number districts, but we can look at tweaking that language, you know, see if that, I don't know that that would make, I think that would be fine. We can consider that and...
Just make a note, and there's probably a reason, but...
Continue, John. There are a couple other sections.
Okay. I'm going to make a note here to myself for a moment here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Representative Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, on establishing residency, just so we kind of have a clear understanding what establishing residency means, because I know there's different residency laws for different things.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kelch, the residency issue is, it's a tricky issue that's dealt with by election officials, I think, regularly. And you're correct, you know, for maybe getting resident tuition at a university is one thing. So that's why we tried to refer to the section in the code 540126 that deals with establishing residency to try to provide some guidance in that area. I'm not saying it's entirely clear because the test is really individual their intent and then their actions. And so it's a challenging one, but I think we tried to get it, at least by having that reference in there, get it as clear as and provide some guidance for that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, continue, please.
And John, I'm just thinking that somebody looking for a place finally gets it bought by the third week in January, has the intent of moving back there, but isn't quite settled in there fully on the 1st of February. Is that going to declare, is he going to have then declared his residency in his old district?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kelsch, I think it certainly could be argued that they have taken action to establish that residency. If they've begun, they purchased the home, their intent was to move in there, maybe, you know, contacted the utility companies, put their, you know, that as their address, and then they have to go through that last step of certifying to the chairman of management and to the secretary of state that that is their intent to establish residency. So that would, which is just designed to allow the political process to kick in to address that vacancy that would be created.
Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And John, along the same lines, if a legislator starts building a new home in his or her old district, but the construction is not completed by February 1st, 2012, would the fact that they've started the construction qualify as establishing residency so they would meet this deadline?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Casper, I think that probably calls for maybe a legal conclusion I'm not ready to provide to you, but again, it's this combination of intent and action, and if their intent is in fact to move there and they've taken action to establish the residency, it's probably going to be okay. The other thing to keep in mind is under our constitution, to continue to serve your district, you have to be only have to be a resident on the day you were elected to that office. There are provisions in the code dealing with vacancy provisions, but I think the vacancies may be created under certain circumstances according to the code, but the Constitution probably prevails in saying that your only qualification to hold that office is that you be a resident of the district on that particular day. So there could be, you know, some claim to that old seat based upon the Constitution, but in general, I think that if you've begun the process to establish that residency, you certify as provided in this language, and that date was arbitrarily chosen by me last night. This is a policy decision for you to make if that's an appropriate date. But all things considered, if they take those actions, they do that certification, you know, that's probably going to be good enough.
The good old Constitution.
Yeah.
When in doubt, or as the last resort, read the Constitution. Senator Christman.
Mr. Chairman, it sounds like there's almost enough vagueness here that anybody can make something work. But as I recall, our filing deadlines are like a couple weeks into April or so, as it usually works out. Kind of hinges on the primary date or something like that. So I don't know that we need to have it quite this early. Why don't we maybe move it to March 1st or March 15th or something, and it would allow a little more time for someone. Buying a home is a pretty important thing, and if you're moving from one area of Fargo and have to move a few blocks to stay within your district, just a couple months to find a house might be kind of tough. An extra month might be helpful, and I don't see a hurry here.
Chairman, I noted yesterday along Senator Christman's lines, I think April 1st is a fine date.
prior to all filing deadlines, because political parties have their conventions the end of March, first part of April. Any consternation on the part of, oh, maybe there is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just afraid that April 1st may be a little too late if, you know, particularly if somebody doesn't know there's going to be a vacancy for somebody to, you know, generate what they need to do in a hurry, and some of the redistricting things might take place in last week in March or whatever. I don't have a problem moving it to March 1st or March 15th, but I think April 1st is just a little late in some situations where we may have a vacancy that nobody was aware was going to happen.
Senator Grinberg?
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem with March 1st, March 15th either, but we're really only talking about next year. And there's two, if there are two individuals, we're only talking a situation that's going to happen next year, right? And then the next decade, we're fine. We're not changing anything else other than this situation, correct?
Anyone else? Senator Crisman.
Since we're just on a working paper, I don't know if you want a motion or something. I guess I'm thinking March 15th would be a good day.
March 15th, what's the sense? I haven't seen from the middle of the room here. Any problem with March 15th? Right. Okay, let's put that in by consensus right now, and then we will pass a motion on this. Anything else on, you still had more to say.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to this section, in past redistrictings, we've put in additional language that says something, you know, based upon this requirement, the senator from this particular district may be required to run. That's something that, you know, we can get into more detail if you choose to do so, or we can leave it this way. That's just an option for you. If we do get more detail, obviously we're going to need some help in identifying those districts that we can put in here. But if you go back to the language from, you know, 10 years ago, we had, you know, specifics based upon this requirement. The senator from, you know, this district will be required to run for, term will be cut short. So that's something we can add later if you choose to give us additional information, but just food for thought, I guess.
The discussion within the committee, and I think if the minutes reflect this too, would be helpful, and I believe they do, that discussion in the committee was that if there was less than 3,500 person change, there had to be, if there were more than 3,500, there had to be an election, and the only district that was identified in the committee, and the minutes should reflect that, was District 19. The current District 19 was the only one that had 8,000-some new people. That was the only one identified. And that might be helpful if the minutes clearly reflect that, that that is what the committee found.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chairman, Sections 3 and 4, then you might wonder why we don't start with 1. 1 is obviously going to be the descriptions of each district. Sections 3 and 4 are the same as what we showed you yesterday from prior redistrictings. Section 3, that if there is some delay in implementing the bill, Secretary of State can condense certain and modify certain election deadlines and procedures to allow the elections to proceed as scheduled. Section 4, standard language, number one, or first part's the intent that the, although the act may be effective December 1st, the members that are elected will continue to serve through, the end of the, what we consider the first part of the term of the four-year term. December 1st is when new legislators are supposed to take office. Any references to city limits, Fort Berthold Reservation, are the limits that existed when the Census Bureau produce these maps, so essentially January 1st of 2010 is the date we chose to, as that cutoff. They actually, I think, produced them sooner than that, but they weren't changed after that point. And then finally, also that the, if city limits or the reservation boundary were to change, the legislative districts that were based upon those city limits or those boundaries don't migrate with that change. So if in Grand Forks, the west edge of District 43 were the city limits, and the city annexed area further to the west, the district doesn't go out further to the west. It stays where that was set when we made these maps. And finally, in the case when we do our legal descriptions of the districts, it's easy to describe a district that consists of an entire county or something, but when we break it down by certain townships, when we talk about the township, we're talking about also the cities that are wholly within that township as well. So that we don't need to list every city as well in the description. So if Edinburgh's in the middle of Lambton Township, we mean Edinburgh as well as Lambton Township when we list Lambton Township. The bill also, which I don't have in here, will contain the repeal of the existing plan and the repeal of the two sections that talk about staggering of terms for the 2001 redistricting. So that it will have the legal descriptions and those additional sections in it as well. And that, Mr. Chairman, I think is all that should need to be in the bill, except I'm contemplating the idea of also making reference to the official maps being on file in our office and maybe posted on the web page. So if there's a discrepancy between, if we mess up a boundary in our description, I believe our intent will be to say that the map that's created is the official boundary. That's something that I think is probably advisable, because I know 10 years ago we did have a couple issues with some of our descriptions that were either unclear or maybe referenced a highway or a county road incorrectly, and they were never noticed by anybody, but we did notice them. And I think if we reference the maps being official, that would help people.
Representative Ballou.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And John, is there a reason why the Fort Berthold Reservation is the only named reservation in this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ballou, the in looking at the map last night, I believe that's the only reservation boundaries that we followed in its entirety, or in part even. The Standing Rock Reservation is wholly within the counties that surround it, and the Spirit Lake Reservation is, I believe, it's entirely within Benson County, except for one little edge that I think is in Ramsey County, but we're not. I'm sorry.
Eddy County.
Okay, there are a couple little edges, but we're not following the boundary of the reservation exactly. We're following the county or the township in those cases. And Representative Ballou, if we do discover that there is a reservation boundary as part of a description on any of the other districts, we will change that reference to add that in there.
Senator Christman.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it's a short way to ask this, but the federal requirements require us to be substantially equal in population based on that snapshot in time when the census was done, and doesn't recognize big changes that, you know, a city doubles in population or something like that. And so by the end of a 10-year term, we have 25,000 people in a district, and it's just fine constitutionally. So this last portion about that if city limits change, we go by the old city limits. Is that necessary constitutionally, or is that just the way we've done it in the past, so that's the way we're doing it here? Because, you know, we had this 10-person shift in my district line out on the north edge of Mandan because those 10 persons had been annexed into Mandan sometime between now and 2000. And it seems much easier for the city and for Morton County to have them stay together. So why couldn't we just let that shift?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chrisman, I think I can answer that one briefly. Because you don't want to delegate to a local jurisdiction the ability to change the legislative districts that you have the responsibility under the Constitution to establish. If you allowed a city to change its city limits and thereby change, expand, or even possibly contract a legislative district, you would have given that authority up to them to establish those district boundaries.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Any other questions on this? So the, as I understand it, the bill draft that we will be approving today would include section one, which is a legal description of all districts, and then it would include these sections and a reference that the map that goes along with this, that will, by the way, be sent out Google Earth later today to all members of this committee and posted on the website of the Legislative Council, would be the official boundaries. And I'm sure that if there is, or guess that if there is an error within the maps and all of this, that legislators will find them and alert us. Also keep in mind, as John kind of intimated, that the language here is going to be reviewed in more detail between now and when the session meets, and also the AG's office is looking at it to make sure that we're not doing something that would cause a lot of heartburn. And we need a motion on this. Would this be the motion on bill draft, or to prepare a bill draft based upon this stuff?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think a motion to prepare a bill draft based upon the language that you've generally agreed upon today and upon the district legislative districts as you've agreed upon in the map that was approved yesterday. Mr. Chairman, effective date?
December 1st.
December 1st.
Will we be done by then?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know when it's appropriate to bring up another issue that I'd like to consider, but before a final decision is made, I do have another issue I'd like to discuss briefly.
Before we vote on this?
Well, it would probably be included in the bill draft, so whenever you deem it appropriate to...
If you're going to make another motion, you can move to amend the bill draft to include X. Right.
Thank you.
So we don't have to go back.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Evelyn moved. Chrisman seconded that we ask the bill draft to be prepared and disseminated to the committee members electronically when it is done, and we know that it'll be a while because the legal descriptions take a while, except for District 9 and District 43. There were no changes in those two districts. Here, would you call the roll on approving a bill draft?
All right, Mr. Chairman, Senators Holmberg?
Aye.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Cook?
Aye.
Grinberg?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Leeson?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Warner? Representative Ballou?
Yes.
Devlin?
Yes.
Holman?
Yes.
Johnson?
Aye.
Casper?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Munson?
Yes.
Nafee?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carried. The other, and we'll come to you in just a second, the other thing that I show that we need to do is we need to pass a motion telling the Legislative Council to prepare a report to present along with any bill drafts to legislative management, and they have until October, whenever it is, to have that done, although I'm sure they're working on it as we speak. Go to Representative Casper first, then we'll do that, and then we adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee members, I've talked to a number of you about my concern about what has happened in some of the districts in Cass County in particular, having to do with the number of precincts per district. And in Cass County, our election officials have made the decision to reduce the number of precincts in a district to as little as two. My district has two precincts for 14,000 people. I think 41 has, and I think some the other ones in Cass County do as well, maybe exception of rural Cass, which is 22. And I think that is not the right way to have an election, to have data being able to be compiled by the political parties. I'll give an example. Senator Christman is in District 33 in Mercer County, my home city of Beulah. Theoretically, if the election law were followed in Mercer County like it is in Cass County, you could have a precinct, one, that would encompass Golden Valley, Zapp, Beulah, Hazen, and Stanton, and a precinct, two, all of the other area in District 33. So how would the political parties on both sides of the aisle identify where your voting strength is if you have 7,000 people roughly in one precinct and 7,000 people in the other precinct? I think in the rural areas of our state, your election officials have found it wise that they have a number of precincts. And maybe this is not a problem for you, but in our area, in Cass County anyway, it's a problem for the political parties that we cannot identify out of 14,000 people where we have the vote for our party and where we have the vote for the other party. If you can't identify your voting strength, you therefore end up having to spend a lot more time and maybe a lot more money campaigning that you should have to do, and you just don't know how to reach your constituents and your supporters in a proper way. I'd like the committee to consider putting in this bill that we require that each district would have a minimum of six precincts. And I want to be clear that this has nothing to do with polling locations. Your county election officials can determine where the polling locations are. This does not change that. It does not change early voting. It simply says there would have to be in each district a minimum of six precincts drawn by the election officials, so that when we get on voting night, we can see precinct one, gee, we had this many votes, precinct six, we had that many votes. The only difference I see from the election process is that the ballots would have a barcode that would have six precincts on the bottom, and when you go to register to vote or appear to vote, the voting official says, well, what's your name and where are you from? And you give them your name and your address, and they say, okay, you're in precinct three, here's your ballot. Because the voting machines, when they tabulate by precinct, as you all know, they will break them down automatically and put them in the right precinct. So there's a little more time involved with some election officials where they have to actually draw a few more precinct lines. But other than that, I think it would be not in an onerous thing on our election officials, and the voting machines are already set up to tabulate by precinct. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make the motion that we would add to the bill an amendment that would require a minimum of six precincts per district.
There will be those that will argue that because that has an impact on the election, local election officials, and it's not an issue that they have weighed in on, to my estimation, I'm a little worried that we're going into a new area of redistricting that is more an area that the GVA committee through a regular session should address. But let's hear from committee members, and then if there's anyone in the audience who might have a issue with this, we can hear it, And like, and I know Representative Casper, you've talked to people. I think I have six or seven precincts in my district. Grand Forks, we have all kinds of precincts. They're all over the place. Is this a problem or an issue that is a Cass County issue that should be looked at Cass County? But Senator Taylor.
Mr. Chairman, kind of along those lines too, and I know we've talked about it a little bit in the halls. Would have been nice to maybe have the information about how many precincts currently are in each district. Just as the chairman said, you know, we know rural districts are going to have very many precincts, and Grand Forks maybe as an urban area. But it would have been nice to know if there's a problem or what that problem is, to what extent. And is the law currently two precincts, did you say, or is there no requirement at this point?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, the way we've amended the election law, we've delegated as a legislative body the opportunity to set the election standards, I think, to the county auditors. And they could theoretically make one precinct in each district, which in our case in Cass County, it sort of occurred overnight. It was one election we had six precincts, the next we had two. And I know myself as an elected official was not notified that this was being contemplated. There might have been a notice someplace that I didn't see, but I know that we did not know this was occurring until after the fact.
Representative Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is, and this is just in a, pardon?
Just,
okay. Oh, sorry about that.
I'm calling an auditor.
Okay. This is just in a district, nothing to do with the county. A lot of counties have three or four precincts and two or three voting places, but the rest of our district particularly have a couple that have mail-in ballots, but they still have precincts out there. And so it just affects the district as a whole, nothing to do with how many the county has to have, or an individual county has to have. Is that the correct understanding?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Kelsey, exactly. Your does not affect county lines, it's just the district as a whole. You could have 30 precincts under my motion, but you have to have a minimum of six, and it could be all over the place, but it does not affect how the counties do their business.
Senator Crisman.
Mr. Chairman, two questions. First of all, should we have something added to this motion to give some guidelines for multi-county districts? Since my district was used in the example, I'll carry it a bit further and pretend that we don't have Morton County, which we do, but two of my counties are Mercer and Oliver, and Mercer is substantially bigger than Oliver. And if the Mercer County auditor says, well, we're doing vote by mail, so we're having one, and sorry, Oliver, you're going to have five now? Do we have to have something in here to regulate that a little? And secondly, if we do this, should it be part of the redistricting bill, or should it be a separate bill for review by the organizational session?
I would lean toward separate bill, but Representative Holman.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry about the phone call, but my quick way to get an answer is to call a county auditor. I just called Linda Ledbetter, which is the auditor for Devlin and I at the present, and Devlin entirely, hopefully in a couple months. Linda said this would be a disaster, so I'm quoting her. So to have six, because she has four right now. Yeah.
Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, the auditor in Steele County, you know, maybe doesn't understand completely what we're discussing here, but if you went to six per district, we have five counties in our district, I could see us just having a nightmare. I think this is going to have a lot of unintended consequences. Cass County apparently has a problem that maybe Cass County needs to address, but I don't think this committee should be pushing it. And I think we need to have some, you know, go through a process, get input from the auditors, everything else, and then do it as a straight-up bill. But I can see with five counties, and they logically could go to six precincts across five counties, I could see a nightmare out there. So,
yes, Representative Munn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, you know, if we were to go down a route, something like this, rather than saying we have to have X number of precincts, maybe we should say no precinct can be larger than 3,000 people or X number of people. And that would kind of address what you're getting at, I think. Because that way, if some county, using Senator Chrisman's example, if the largest county said, we're having one, that's it, and then forces Oliver County, for instance, to have five, at least you would put some of the pressure back onto the largest populated county to not be able to take the route where they go with one and force the small county to have five. So if you, you know, I'm not sure that this is the right vehicle to put something like this in, but I would at least hope that we would do something with a minimum size, perhaps, instead of a minimum number.
Representative Nathie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district I represent, we have, currently have six precincts, and it works pretty well. And I'd be curious, we have an auditor from Burley County here, I'd be curious to get his opinion, his take on this.
So, Kevin, you were outed by someone from your community, so I'll let you... reaction.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, reaction. I think not only request input from various county auditors, but from the public. I believe there's a real shift in voting trends in the fact that people aren't so interested anymore in going to that local school and voting, to a local township hall and voting. People want convenience. That's what's driving society today, is convenience. They want to vote early. They want to vote by mail. They want to vote at a central location that's convenient, has ample parking, where it's on their way to work. They don't want to drive three or four blocks away from their normal driving habits. They want to go to polling places that are on their way to work, on their way home. They want to vote from home. They want to vote by the internet. They want to vote from their smartphone. Things have changed. And if there's any, I believe any county, well, maybe not, but not any county, but Cass, I think Cass County's been pretty progressive in the way they handle elections, and they can afford to be progressive in the way they handle elections. They have the money to do different things that other counties don't.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Glad, let not your heart be troubled. Everything you said that people like and want, my motion does not affect one iota. Not one bit. You can have early voting, you can have mail voting, you can have central voting, you can have voting in every block if you like. All this says is that when you draw up a district precinct lines, and you would then, as an auditor, have to draw the precinct lines, you would have to do a little more work by identifying at least six precincts in your district. You may be way beyond that already, or in the district. You may be way beyond that already. Representative Holman said his district has 14 precincts. This motion does not affect his precinct, so his auditor being concerned is a non-concern. All I'm saying is that every district must have a minimum of six precincts. It affects nothing about voting, where you do, how you do it, and when you do it. Just a minimum of six precincts so we can identify where the population is in our districts and begin to understand the political makeup of our districts through a broader number of precincts if we're below six.
Mr. Yes. Chairman, Representative Casper, not afraid of work. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. My question, my question to you then is your intent that we would have six precincts with one voting location? Would that be acceptable?
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Glott, absolutely yes. Okay. I am not in this motion talking about voting locations.
Okay.
simply drawing the lines to have at least six precincts in the district. Nothing to do with voting locations, voting time, place, or anything.
Representative Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I'm pretty clear to understand what the motion is, and I just wanted to explain a little bit. In our district, we had two counties that were mail-in ballots. Sargent County had mail-in ballots, and the only place you could vote on Election Day was in the courthouse of that county. But you could still go to the precincts and find out how many votes you got in different precincts around the county, and I believe there was eight of them, if I'm not mistaken. Lamoille County was the same thing. They had mail-in ballot. On Election Day, they had two places you could vote, one in Edgley, one in Lamoille, one in my district and one that wasn't in my district. And you could still find out in the precincts, different precincts, how many votes were cast in different ways in those precincts. So I think, you know, I don't think it's as near as scary as a lot of people think this motion is. I don't know how workable it is in the rural areas, and if counties change their mind and we only want one precinct, they're going to be not messed with that. I don't know how that'll work. If you got five counties and have to have six precincts and they all say we're only going to have one precinct, you know, there may be some problems there. In the cities, I don't know how it would be really effective, other than they'd have to draw some lines of where those precincts are. But I just wanted to let you know that it does work out in the rural areas at this point.
Do you feel that the bill, this particular motion, would be, would you have more comfort level if it was done through the normal process, i.e. having hearings before we approve a bill draft and hear from folks from other cities? Because, I mean, all I'm hearing, it's a Cass County or a Fargo issue. I mean, I'm not hearing, I know it's not a Grand Forks issue. We have plenty of precincts.
Mr. Chairman, if I yes. remember right, it was brought up in the last legislative session, I think, on the House side, and probably by Representative Casper. I'm not sure my memory is 100%.
I think that was a different nuance. That had been voting places, I think.
I think that process is a better process than this, to get the public input, yes. I really do. But I was just trying to explain that in many of the counties, this is what is happening now, just what he mm-hmm. was talking about, rather than, it's not as scary probably as we think it is. Whether it's 100% right, I don't know at this point. And maybe the hearing process would be better. I suppose if the legislative management, if the bill did pass this committee, if the legislative management didn't want it to go any farther, it wouldn't go any farther. So
the and I know that there are a number of instances in my county, for example, I think it's either Northwood or Larimore has one polling place and three precincts already that the people go to. Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kelch, the bill that you referred to in the last session had to do with the minimum number of polling places in a district, so this is sort of a different issue.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm wondering if this approach would make sense to the committee. We have a motion and we passed a bill. So I'm wondering if Representative Casper would like to make a separate motion to pass a bill draft dealing with this issue alone from this committee, up or down, whatever happens, so it's not attached to the bill, and then management, if it passes, then management can decide whether it's going to be introduced.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'd have no problem with that at all.
That's what the motion will read. It was a motion to prepare a bill draft then and not a motion to amend this particular bill. Okay, would you call the roll on the motion to forward to management a bill draft? You call the roll?
Okay.
Oh. You're writing it in.
Bill draft for what, on the template A or?
No, a separate bill draft.
Okay. right. Representatives Baru?
Yes.
Devlin?
No.
Holman?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Casper?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Munson?
Yeah.
Nathy?
Yes.
Senators Holmberg?
No.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Cook?
Aye.
Grinberg?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Leishman?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
And Warner? Motion carried, Mr. Chairman.
Motion carried. That will be prepared and sent to legislative management. And we need a motion to ask the legislative, the staff to prepare the report. Representative Nancy Johnson moves, Munson seconds. Does that need a voice vote? I mean, can that be voice vote?
I'll probably do a roll call.
Okay, we'll do a roll call.
Senators Holmberg?
Aye.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Cook?
Aye.
Grinberg?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Leishman?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Warner?
Yes.
Representatives Baru?
Yes.
Devlin?
Aye.
Holman?
Yes.
Johnson?
Aye.
Casper?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Munson?
Yes.
Nathy?
Yes.
Special session in joint, joint committee. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I think all of you would agree that our chairman has done a great job in handling this committee and the issues that have come before it, and I just think we should let the record show that the committee appreciates the work of the chairman.
Thank you very much.
I second that.
Oh, was that the motion to adjourn?
No. But Mr. Chairman, I think probably all the individuals on the committee, and I'd like to especially thank Representative Holman. He did a tremendous amount of work on this, and his savviness on the computer really come through, and I think he and our Senate Democrat counterparts came up with a very good plan. I guess we knew the fate of it before, but it was good, it was fair, and actually the plans weren't all that much different, but I think the amount of work that was put in by our individuals, as small as our numbers were, has to be commended before the committee. And I know you guys passed your two computers around quite a bit more than we were able to, and so I think everybody on the committee worked hard. And I appreciate the idea that there was a fairness in mind rather than all the time trying to stick somebody. And that needs to be commended.
We also, and I agree with your comments because I know at every meeting, the members of the Minority Caucus and Majority Caucus were alert, they were engaged, and even as you saw, there was, when you look at the template that we actually passed, there were some sticking points within each political group, but there was a lot of commonality at the end of the day between the various plans that we looked at. We also should not forget our staff, who have done a yeoman's job of working late and having the same problems. You as members shared your computer problems with them on a constant basis, and there were a lot of computer issues as we went forward. So let's go home. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We have maps here for you.
Okay, I have those.
Well, I don't even want to know. That's it, Norm. You and I are off each other's business list. I got the evil eye on Ken.
Huh? Really?
He deserved it this time.
Really?
Second.
Oh.